Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be multiplied among us this morning, hour of grace, and ever henceforth. Amen. The text for this morning is not the one that is printed in the bulletin. And it's not Cheryl's fault. I gave it over the phone to someone else, and I think it might be what you're going to be hearing next Sunday. And so I'm not going to take and preach somebody else's text in quotation marks because they don't belong to anybody. I don't know how that happened. The readings were not mine either, but they were very good places to read from, so there really is no tragedy there. But you will have to take your Bible if you want to follow along. In the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2. And we'll begin reading from verse 11. In Jesus' name as follows. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go on into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Then he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and our meditation upon that word. Amen. And you can now see also, other than the word, why Mark did all the other work this morning. I forgot to ask you to stand. If I'm ever here again, just stand. I have nothing against it. I just am absent-minded and slow-witted at times. This is a familiar portion of God's Word, of course. It is a seasonal text for this particular Sunday in the church season. And it speaks to us of course, the flight to Egypt. Now, if we look at the beginnings of Jesus' life here, we might be prone in a natural way to shake our heads. What's going to become of this? It's nothing but problems, it's nothing but hardships, except for a wonderful time when the angels appeared in the heavens to the shepherds, and also when the Magi, a couple of years later, came with their wonderful gifts that they brought, and gifts which might have subsidized their journey to Egypt. This, however, I believe, is written here in Matthew in this way to indicate to us something about our own lives, the difficulties that are there, but also the presence of our God who is also there. And that comforts us. And we see Jesus, for example, at the very beginning, we think of Mary and Joseph. And Mary, who conceives through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then Joseph, who in the vision is told it's okay, you take her for your wife, as she was technically already, except they had not been together. The betrothal, as you all know, was a very serious ritual in those days that the father and the friends and so on would all perform. And so the two were together, but they were getting ready for the marriage. Now the itself, so it didn't happen right away. And so Mary becomes pregnant. Now she is well into her pregnancy when they begin the 70-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now think of that. That wasn't an easy walk and ride on a donkey at all for her. And when they get to Bethlehem, they don't find any place to stay. And she's about to have child. The only places we know was that stable, a barn, that somebody very nicely said, well, you can stay here. And the child was then placed after birth into that manger, a feeding trough. What humble beginnings for the Savior of all of mankind, the one who was predicted and prophesied in the Old Testament to be someone who would be this majestic servant of the Lord, the Messiah, who would free them from the dominion that they now were under of the Romans and of Herod, who had been appointed by the Roman emperor and so on. And so here we find such simplicity that went on and then had to flee. And so looking from verse 13 of what I read, and when they, that is the Magi, those dignitaries from Persia, parts of what might be Persia, would be Persia today, and they were more than stargazers. I guess we understand that. To be a wise man meant that you were of high governmental preference. And you might be an astrologer, which of course would be respected as well, but you also had this dignity of being part of the ruling of people, whatever your task might be. And so they go back another way, don't return to Herod as he had asked them to, and we know that part of the account. But here Joseph again in a dream, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise. Gabriel appeared to Mary, the angel appeared to Zacharias. But Joseph, twice now, at this point, and later on again, he hears from the Lord. But it was in a different way. And I think this is also, as well as to show how important and dramatic it was to those who were involved, but also shows to us that God does communicate with us through his word, but he does also press needs that are present in other people's lives into our hearts. And we pray that we might have the strength to recognize that and to go forth to do whatever it is that the Lord lays before us. It may not be an easy task. And we recognize that with the Lord Jesus Christ and with Joseph and Mary. Can you imagine what they are thinking? What is this? This is supposed to be the child of God. You know, our flesh gets there. We do the same thing. And we begin to think, well, God, where are you? Do you even exist? Are you hearing my prayers? And that's, we look back to Isaiah chapter 49. There's that very well-known place where Isaiah begins with verse 13 of this portion, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." And what does Zion say? Exactly what we say many times. When we are encouraged to rejoice in that salvation that you have. Rejoice in that which the Lord has given you instead of wanting more and more and more. Instead of being discouraged by everything that comes along. Rather rejoice that, well, I'm not alone in this. The Lord is there with me. And Isaiah even says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten us completely. And my Lord has forgotten me, Isaiah writes. Ever been there? Ever been there? Now you don't have to nod your head, but be truthful. Yes, we do. But you know what God replies through Isaiah? He says, behold, now look, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. You're right here, in the palm of my hand, in those spots that were, that palm, those palms that were nailed to Calvary's cross. Be joyful, O people. And so here, they are told to go to Egypt, and they are told that Herod, the king, Herod the Great, is going to seek your child. And we know that he was one of the most evil individuals that has ever lived, slaying his own sons, so that they would not take his empire away from him. And so he was ready to massacre all of those who were 2 years old and younger, take away their lives. That was his hidden plan. And of course, the wise men went another way, as they were told to do. Joseph has left to preserve the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were there in Egypt until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. There are several places, in fact, more than several places, in Matthew in particular, that refer to Old Testament prophecies. So that it appears that one of the purposes of this book, above, along with many, but it's to show the foundation that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the kind of Messiah that God gave to us, is already foretold in the Old Testament. So we should not be amazed by these things that happened. And of course, Herod, in his great anger, when he finds out that those travelers from the east, from Persia, or the west rather, or east it would be, was exceedingly angry and said, all right, this is what we're going to do. Sad. And we hear something again from the Old Testament of Jeremy the prophet in Ramah, which was the place to which Hebrews were brought when they were being sent. It was like the staging area. And they'd be brought there from many places that the enemies had captured, especially from the northern kingdom, and then taken from there. And so there's a mention of that great sorrow that is there as well, all the children leaving. But also, it seems from how Scripture brings this forth, when we read, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. This was what happened right there in Bethlehem, was a major tragedy as well. And so Rachel was brought into the picture here. She was by many, and Ruth mentions her in the book of Ruth. She is thought of as being the mother of Israel. Jacob, whose name became Israel, of course, was her husband. And so she was greatly respected in her own day as being that mother, and who herself, you know, this part of the story that's not in scripture, and we don't, you know, how, but written down in other places, how people believe that she arose from her grave to sorrow over this great loss that was done. Again, an indication, I don't, you know, the hereafter, we don't really know exactly what's going on there, but the idea of heaven in many ways watching over us is what's important. It's right, instead of trying to get technical, we are being watched, and not in a mean way. Say, aha, this is what she did, and write it down in a book. No. Writing, looking upon us, our soul's condition, our condition in life, and trying to provide us with those things that we need. Here, Joseph is shown a way, and so we also are shown a way through life, but we have to pay attention to that way. Be in prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be led, and where we are directed, we would go. And I'm sure you've had the same kind of feeling where you've tried to put something off, as I've said before, to go see this man that had a cancer. And I thought, well, I'm just so busy, I can't do it now. And it would not go away. I went to his home. I could hear the death knell breathing when I opened the door. And the nurse was there. She said, well, he's going to go another 2 or 3 days. I talked to him. Although his eyes were closed, he was breathing loudly and groaning about scripture and prayed. Everyone else had left for the kitchen. I went in there. I said, you better come here right now. He's going. And he did. That's how close I was to missing that moment. Or, if I hadn't gone, what a burden there would be on my heart because I didn't do what I was asked to do. So when we get these, they're more than notions. We get this feeling, I must do it. I've got to call so-and-so. I've got to go over there. I have to do whatever it is. Do it. You will be blessed yourself. And many times it's a totally different, it isn't a horrible reason at all, but it's just that somebody needs to talk to you, and so on and so forth. So let's not be afraid. So when Herod was finally dead, Herod lived from some of the dates say, 37 to 4 B.C., but setting dates so long ago is difficult. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the child. He didn't go one day earlier than he should have gone. He went and came into the land of Israel. Then he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, and so he was afraid to go there, thinking it would be dangerous. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now again, this is part of that humiliation in the life of Christ. The one who was the prince going to be and was already, you know, stepped down from heaven, took upon the image of man, and came down, and not only image, but the flesh of man, so that he was God and man, as you've heard, I'm sure, in the pre-Christmas sermons. But here, Nazareth was just a place that was looked down upon us, a no-account town, and in fact, people thought of it as being, you know, the Hurley of those days, if any of you are old enough to remember. How Hurley, Wisconsin, was despised. and it just had a terrible reputation. For what reasons, I don't know, but that's where Jesus was born. And not born, but taken to live as a babe. And that's where he grew up. That's where people came to know him as a carpenter's son. And so, humble circumstances, but just think of it this way as well. When he comes again, he comes in power and great glory. What a day that will be. All of this other was preparation for it. Just as Jesus comes to dwell in our hearts, in its fleshly nature, it is no place to dwell for the Holy Spirit to be. But when the Word of God has worked in our hearts, and we are able to lay aside every weight, every sin that bothers us, and to know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and to rejoice in that salvation, in that death that he suffered, so that we might have life and have it most abundantly. So, we don't need to look for the fancy. What we need to look for is the truth of God's Word, and pray that it might be opened unto us. He was born in scandalous circumstances. Mother pregnant before she was married in the eyes of the world. And in those times particularly, she would be scorned for her entire life. And as it was, you can imagine that the gossip tongues talked about her. And the death threat. This was only the first. Remember, when Jesus spoke, there were those who tried to take him and do away with him, as the same thing that happens in our own day has happened through the ages, where the messengers are tried in some places to actually be killed, others imprisoned, others made fun of, and so on and so forth. But we stick not with the times, my friends, but with the truth at all times. Not the times of this world, but the times that God has given to us. And so, we know that we also in our earthly journey are going to be persecuted. Because, even as we read in Timothy, in 2 Timothy, because we speak of his resurrection, Paul was also persecuted. That was a major reason. And the persecution of the redemption, of course, the resurrection, reminds us of success, of a gift, of victory, the battle's won. Let us pray that we continue to follow the conquering hero, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He loves you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we pray? Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment of grace, for this time, Father, of looking into your word and being comforted by the knowledge that is there, that Jesus came into this world as a little baby in a manger, in a barn, and Father treated the way that he was treated, so ignominiously, so cruelly, so painfully, Father. And yet, he gladly did that so that we might be his own, his prized possession, and that he waits for us even as we wait for him on that final day. And now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And wishing all of you a blessed New Year in the Lord.